Welcome to the With the Will podcast, where to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and there are so many articles on Wikimon I have to work on, but I'm not going to do it.
How have the past few weeks been, Dev?
I am suffering physically horribly, but otherwise, A-okay.
And that's before all the Digimon stuff.
Yes.
So yes. We have plenty to go over, so let's go ahead and just jump into it. First up, we have Liberator stuff. They did the TIPS 07 column, which we kind of guessed was going to be the battle against Violet.
Yep.
I will say,
play the card game.
I will say I appreciate for these articles, like the amount where they actually do the images with the layouts for the decks.
That is very helpful because I am forgetful as hell and I don't remember how to play the card game 5 minutes after I read the instructions.
Yeah. And then after that, we got an interview with multiple people involved with Liberator. So Fumiya Kobayashi, he's been designing Digimon stuff since Atmon. Kohei Murata, who's the current producer of the card game, and he's also showed up as the producer of other Digimon stuff. He's often gone under the nickname Murata P for producer Murata. And
Is that the one we can blame him for the deluge of cards that are tormenting us constantly?
Technically, yes. And then Kuniaku Usatsuki, he's the one who does the writing for Liberator, the script, Tamer designs. The interview goes over a lot of stuff really well. We're not going to detail all of it because there's just a bit too much.
But yep, and people can just read that. They can just read it.
One of the things I do want to point out, though, is when they point out Itmon, they go, great idea to pick a popular Digimon, but just have new evolutions, and something like that will have an impact. And pointing out the way Digimon designs work, and they just do a lot. It's probably one of the better interviews we've seen for Digimon in a while.
Also, it's really fun getting like behind the scenes work.
You know what the craziest part is? If you look at the article, that is me writing an overview of what they're talking about, not actually the full interview.
So much.
I think I sat there for like an hour going over everything. Then we have four new chapters of the web novel. We'll be going over this a bit quick. So first, they kind of introduced like this thing that's there. They just describe it as a giant destorage.
Yeah.
And it feels like a weird evil obelisk thing.
I'm just imagining it as the Eye of Sauron, but square.
I imagine the obelisks in Evangelion, but looking like a destorage opening and closing. then we get new characters like Ryotaro introduced and his Tyrannomon. And Ryotaro's the going to act heroic justice guy, which is
the Shonen Jump guy.
Kind of a bit older in that they actually specifically do define, I think he's 27. Somewhere in his 20s. For some reason, I want to say 27, but I think that's the other new character. But them chasing after people who are cheating as people are finishing up at small events to try to steal their prizes.
Just like after grade school.
Okay, AP confirms in the chat he is actually 27. For some reason, like I was saying that I'm like, the problem is he's such a shonen-y character. I was like, I'm about to say 27 and it feels wrong because he's an adult, but he feels a bit younger. And the twist here was, I thought when they introduced Dinomon, it would be like a twist. It is very clearly just the evolution they've had for him in the story, at least.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, this is a card.
Then we get to chapter 4. They play up Frigimon's size a decent bit. Like at the end when they describe her sort of sitting on his shoulders was fun. The thing I liked about chapter 4 is they actually tie it into the beginning of the webcomic. Is the NPCs went nuts because they were infected by a wild Digimon that should not be in Lacuna, and it's Blue Komon, which she, it's interesting, she captures it before the battle from someone else, and then that person's looking up to her, and then weirdly, we get a weird friendly nice Demi-Devimon as that young girl's partner, which it's weird, when he's acting like polite, it just makes you flash back to Adventure when he was being polite and it was fake, except this is actually his personality. He's just like a floating Demi-Devimon who's just like, respect the rules and be nice to each other.
It's like, we don't trust you.
Yeah. Chapter 4, the card battle stuff felt better written, and I'm not sure why. Maybe because they kept stopping to have the characters talk to each other.
Yeah, not just straight through a reenactment of a card game.
Yeah, and we haven't quite been fully introduced to him. They introduced a new person with a cringy name, Dev. Unchained.
Melody.
And then, yeah, the younger girl they introduced, which was Reyna, which was interesting to see her shift as she got more info. It works fine. The card stuff is the least interesting to me, personally, just because it's just not of my interest. I do still weirdly feel like if they're going to do these, do four half chapters at once, it feels like they could split them up a bit.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, they don't need to drop them all at one time. Like, they could drop, like, they could, well, they could just split it in half.
So, yeah, here's why I would do that. Generally speaking, what they seem to do is the first half of each chapter is set up character stuff. Then the second half includes the battle and then, like, chapter finishing stuff. It feels like if they did one chapter at a time, you'd get that full thing.
And you could focus more on one character or group, like, at a time.
Yes, especially since they really have kind of split them up as Chapter 1's Yuki, Chapter 2's Winner, Chapter 3's Ryotaro, Chapter 4 is Suzune. They really focus on them like that, and splitting them up might help a bit. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, because I'm just... It might just be because I'm doing it for the podcast, but I'm just burning through them as fast as I can, and half of one of them is just ends up going in one ear and out the other.
I think the issue is yeah, they put up a bunch on a Wednesday, and then we go, okay, we want to make sure we talk about this on the Monday. We don't have the time to enjoy it, if it makes sense, because they put up too much at once.
Yeah.
And speaking of putting up too much at once, hey, Digimon Comics. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go do quick overviews this time. And then when we have less to talk about in an episode or two, we'll do more in depth, because goddamn, I keep using the shorthand of 200 pages, but even if you get rid of it, it's like 188 pages that they put up at once. In English, yeah. Different stories, a variety of styles. So let's just go over what they are. So first, Digimon Recollection. Can we appreciate the pun game that none of us saw coming?
Yes.
And we should have seen it coming when we noticed her name was Rico, and it was Recollection. Although what's funny is clearly the Digimon Web people did not get that notice quickly enough, because the file names for it actually say Recollection.
Well, so, on the Japanese one, below the kana, it says Recollection.
Because that is
with a capitalized C.
Yeah, because that is a straight translation, but the idea is that her name said roughly the same.
Plus, but also they're recollecting.
Yes, their plus collection. Digimon pun game. So
three layers.
So the setup here, very good, very solid mix of comedy with some real world wink wink to it. And the story is not a sequel to, but in the same world as Bloom, which is the story that they won in the manga event last year. Because the game shutting down was a plot point there also.
I did not end up reading that particular one, but I'll have to go back and find it.
And can we appreciate how much effort Waga Otori is going to actually have most of the products be actual products?
It was a lot of dedication. I appreciate it greatly.
Yeah. And the high point here is anytime Rico starts running around like a crazy person with the gag faces. I think my favorite part reading it the first time was when all of a sudden you just realize at some point she grabbed a net. It's like, oh, great. She's going
to. Why do you have this?
Yeah. Like she just had, like, I assume it's just a bug net, but at some point she just went, okay, we have to go catch Digimon. I have a net. This is the one that I expected I would enjoy the most, and I really did enjoy it.
It was an absolute fucking delight, and I love that, and I love her brother as well.
Yeah, he's interesting. It feels like he's going to have more of a part starting with Chapter 2. And we should point out, all of these are going to run for 4 issues, and they're going to be every 3 months or so. So roughly a year. So at the end,
I expected these to be like 20 pages each.
No, yes, I was like, oh, it's going to be 8 to 20 pages each, and then maybe these will be one-offs, maybe there'll be a second. It's like, oh no, they're doing full-on, like, almost all of these will be large enough that you could have a collection book for them, which is great.
Please give me a physical release as well.
Well, we have more to say about that, but let's go on. So then we have Digimon Knuckles. This one seemed calmer. I thought it was going to be very much like nonstop hot action Gankumon screaming. I actually like him, like the drama of him trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, it's like more introspective than I was assuming. I thought this was going to be purely the gag manga.
I like that this has been the drama so far and the nice teaser at the end. Although my favorite thing here is kind of stupid. So anything Gankumon's in, Hinokame can't really do much because, you know, if it's a game or something, you just have him there as an attack. Here, he's like a pseudo character. He just kind of floats and doesn't do anything. But they just show him as if he's staring. But yeah, so I was happy with this. This is one I'm very curious to see where it goes because they have not done a lot. A lot of the setup is more suggestive. Then Digimon Paradox, I think, gets the award for not what I was expecting. I think the teaser text does not do this justice. Because the teaser text felt like this was going to be some sort of dark sci-fi tale.
Yeah, it's like, in a future, Digimon are like weapons of war.
And the weapon thing's there, but that's kind of more setup. And good action, good drama. The art's really good, and the color use has been great, honestly, in this one. And I think one of my favorite things was I did not expect Wanyamon to turn into Elecmon so quickly.
Not at all. I was expecting like Galmon maybe or one of the others.
And here's what I appreciate. The creator of the manga, in all the lead up art they were doing, because they were posting lots of art, it was always Wanyamon. They weren't draw outside, like you might have Wanyamon with Cormon, but it's always Wanyamon. So you got in the mood of, okay, it's going to be a Wanyamon for most of the story for some reason. And then immediately, Elecmon.
Yeah.
And also, the friendly Kuwagamon had one line. It was just like a comic aside to show that it's wacky. I'm curious.
I love that Wanyamon is like, my name's Elecmon, not Wanya. He's like, okay, Wanya.
Yeah. And then I'm curious to see how much time travel stuff matters past this. I can't tell if it will matter at all until the end. Or if we'll expect to see more of it.
Oh, we've got another three chunks of it. So
then we had Digimon Seekers, the Crossword Witch, which, okay, did you think it was going to be a prequel with her in like high school or something?
Because it says it was supposed to be a prequel about Shu Yulin, and then she's like,
it's an integral explaining how she went from the prequel portion of Seekers to being in the DigiPolice, which I don't dislike. I just wasn't expecting it.
Also, the medium works a lot better for Seekers than the novel.
It has such better pacing. It's just good art. Pacing's good. It's interesting that
interesting.
Yes, it's worked really well. I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
That much depth in just those few pages. You give more of a shit about her than for all of actual Seekers.
Yeah. And then, Mini Digimon, Story of the Royal Knights.
I love Wanyamon!
I feel like we knew what to expect here, but we didn't know enough of what to expect. Because we all went, okay, this is going to be a funny little story. And it is. But, oh man, the gags are so perfect.
We're all just Dynasmon here.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this because Yabuno's comedic timing in the one where they're showing him talking to him about soccer and he goes to kick the ball, and then the next frame the ball is just sitting there. And I
his face in the next one is the best.
I know, it's so good. And the funny part is this is the shortest by far, and he's fit in so much.
He's got a lot of practice at it.
Yeah. So those are the five. Those are going to run through all four. They've suggested at times that some things might be different, but I wonder if some things got moved around. For example, at the exhibition, they gave away a physical book of the comics, but they're not the same as what's there. The Seekers one is not actually there. So I'm wondering if that was going to be one later and they moved it up and gave it a full four chapter run.
Possibly.
Because it actually has Liberator Episode 0 instead. So it's a bit interesting that you would have thought that would have been planned, but also, like, we haven't gotten the marketing art for the Seekers one, and in various places they mentioned four instead of five. I wonder if that was one that was only going to run for, like, three, and then they're like, okay, we'll move it up and do four. Then we got interviews. These you have to read yourselves because, again, a lot, but some solid stuff. Just talking about the gags, the explanation of why Rico had, you know, why they came up with she's a high school girl, her brother worked on Digimon. It's because would this era of girl like Digimon like that? So they needed a way to get her into it plot wise. They talk about liking Savers, so that's why it's that Agumon.
I loved her brother making fun of his giant nostrils.
Good. But yeah, there was also a second set of interviews with the creators of Paradox and Tenya Buno. Tenya Buno mentioned that at first, he actually pitched something different. Do you know what he pitched?
Ooh.
He was like...
More dreamers?
That's functionally what he pitched was he was approached for this last summer. He was like, okay, we're finishing up Dreamers. We'll just do more. It's like, this needs to be a new story because of what it is. And Yabuno's like, you know, that's a new challenge. That's great. But he's made clear that he does want to do more Dreamers.
We'll make his dream come true. Yes,
so we'll see. They did trailers for four of the comics, which those were good trailers. Like, that's solid marketing. And then this is where we both need to get some water because holy crap, they kept going. So the 25th anniversary special trailer. It actually went up for us in the U.S. right around the same time they had the public screening. So it was nice to get that a bit early and watch. And that is a very solid celebration trailer.
It was very, very fun. I enjoyed it.
It is a run through of adventure. You see characters in scenes they weren't always in. They do an extended bit of showing the other six kids meeting the baby two Digimon, which was great. One thing that people point out is I think outside of one or two small things, every Digimon who shows up in adventures in the trailer, like just popping up somewhere, I think there were two that weren't. It was Airdramon and someone else, but I forget who. But people are actually going through and, like, tallying every Digimon you could find.
Short, they went nuts, just cramming everything in there.
Short, very fun. And I love that even in the Japanese trailer, the U.S. logo appears.
I was a little surprised at that.
To be fair, it is Toei's logo, and they do like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I did see a number of Japanese fans being like, eh, what's that logo? And someone had, and I'm seeing people explain going, that's the overseas logo. But that is a solid 2.5 minutes. Definitely worth a watch. Then, Odaiba Memorial, that's when all this stuff happened.
All the stage stuff, greetings.
The countdown images were fun. So then, once the countdown image, we got the stage greeting, which was roughly what we expected. It was a stage greeting. So it started off with AIM singing. Then, you know, everyone comes up on stage to introduce themselves. The weirdest part for me was I can't remember the last time at a stage event where AIM actually did Mimi's voice. She did hear, but she doesn't generally do that anymore because there's generally other Mimis there.
That makes sense.
And also, especially weird, is this the first time we've actually seen the Digimon music producer?
You know what? I honestly don't know.
I don't know if we've... He must have been somewhere, but, like, never, like, you know. And then Chika Sakamoto pulled out, she made a tiny Mimi hat. They showed off exhibition things. Guy came out in white gloves showing off some of the, like, cell reproductions.
Which is funny, because the series doesn't have cells, so...
Well, no, that's why they're selling it for $300. Then they do the... They do butterfly in front of the crowd, and I didn't realize this until later. This is, I'm pretty sure, where the 15th anniversary event was.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same theater where they announced Try and that they were doing new Digimon stuff. Yeah. This is that. So when they're running around doing butterfly, that's what they did 10 years ago. So that was a surprise. I didn't realize it was the same place. And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh, it actually is. And that comes up later. But first up, and then after the movie aired, or a bit into the movie, there was a teaser for January 5th, 2025. And that is a teaser.
We're announcing an announcement.
Oh, no, that's a fucking teaser, though. Especially since people are like, oh, they're saying they're going to remake Adventure. No, that's not what this image is. This image is literally right before they go to the epilogue in 02. Like, literally half a second later is when they transition to the epilogue. That is certainly a suggestion of what this might be about, but we have plenty of time to give musings with no further information.
Get ready for all the clickbait videos.
Oh, there's already been plenty.
There's going to be more.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good teaser. And then, don't you love when they do weird, unexpected stuff?
Yes, the only thing that matters.
The weird, unexpected thing is they're doing a full Yamato and the Teenage Wolves album.
I am absolutely fucking here for it.
Yodo Kazama singing it to Aif. And it's been pointed out since then by the Digimon music producer, they have a lot of character singles for Digimon. They've actually never done a full character album. Anytime they've done a character album, it was a combination of singles either previously released or not released before. This is actually all being made as an album. And I think...
Yeah, guaranteed, it's always just like human... Partner, karaoke's. Yeah. That's about it.
Now, am I wrong, or is this not Yamato sitting there from, I think, the Christmas episode?
Oh God!
When he's waiting for the bandmates to pop in, I think.
That does seem familiar.
Yeah, and then also for August 1st, Ayumi Miyazaki put up a music video for a 25th anniversary version of Braveheart. It was very fun. Towards the end, he also puts up old 25-year-old concert footage from events with him, Wada Koji, and others, which is really nice to see, and I don't think I had seen some of that footage before.
I don't recognize it, so I'm going to assume that I didn't either.
And then the exhibition opened, so they teased it by showing, oh, they have some of the original sketches from Katsuyoshi Nakatsuru. Director Kakudo mentioned that he wrote various things for it. And then it opened, and photos went nuts over the weekend. We definitely cannot go over all of them, and we didn't put them all in the slides because there was just too many. But...
Damn it. I want to be there.
Yeah. So, just a quick overview of what they did. So, a lot of these pictures were from the preview night, which was Digimon fans from Digimon Partners along with cast and crew. So, some of the people we saw in photos was Chika Sakamoto, who's Agumon, AIM, Hitomi Yoshida, who's Tri-Mimi, her and AIM posing together and stuff, with Kaneko Yamada, who's Palmon. AIM at one point takes a photo with Ryo Natsuki, pointing out they hadn't seen each other while she's Miyako. The original Miyako, that is.
Yeah.
Atori Shigematsu, who's Piyomon. Ayumi Miyazaki. The one that surprised me was Oitada showing up, who's Terramon and Lotmon. She does, because generally... Outside of her cameo in Ghost Game, she doesn't really do anime stuff anymore because she focuses on singing.
Isn't she basically like semi-retired, at least from anime?
From anime, role? Because big singer.
Yeah.
Like her main roles that people know her from are Terramon and Lotmon, and also Ed from Cowboy Bebop. She like did iconic roles and then went, I'm out. And then Kenji Watanabe also. And then some images of note. Yushimamura, who's Jellymon and Offmon, arrived, but since Jellymon is not in the key image, she drew Jellymon and Angoramon showing up for the event. And the best part is the art is amazing. And are you ready for the best part?
Yes.
She decided she was going to draw two characters, but she decided it would be kind of embarrassing if she only drew her characters, which is why Angoramon's in it. And then later she posted an image of Offmon looking shy from her sketchbook. But yeah, the Jellymon one is the funniest thing because it's actually drawn as if someone's taking a photo of them from behind as they're entering. And it's just fantastic. Because especially since it's Jellymon in her floaty mode.
She is the best.
But yeah, so then we also, the card battle people were showing up and taking photos. A number of them noted that there were various signs for no photography in various sections, so not everything's been photographed. We will see how long that lasts, especially since Kakudo has started to post.
I was going
to
say, just send Kakudo, bro. Yeah.
They also show a teaser for a new Digimon model kit. My favorite part is, you know how sometimes for teasers they will use silhouettes of existing things so they don't spoil what it is?
Yes.
So it's a big teaser placard in the model kit section. It says 25th anniversary limited item coming soon. And it's a silhouette of the Omegamon X kit. So we can definitely say it's Omegamon in some form, which kind of gives it away, doesn't it?
Maybe it's translucent this time.
We'll see. But yeah, exhibition, the photos look amazing. The event looks fun. I like that it does not look overwhelming. Because sometimes when you get these pseudo-museum events, it looks like they're doing so much that it's like, oh, crap. It looks like this is a calm, like, 50-minute walk.
Yeah, some museum stuff, like, I've been to multiple because my local museum does a whole bunch of them, and some of them are, like, really cluttered and crammed in there, and other ones are decently spaced out. I guess it just really depends on the actual physical space.
This one actually looks decently spaced out, to be honest. And then, at Otakon, Discotech announced Blu-ray updates, and I should say I announced Blu-ray updates, so, Digimon Adventure 02 subbed is gonna be out soon-ish. It's approved and it's everything, it's just not dated yet. And the movies are still in approval, but definitely close.
On the way!
Yes. And then, they had announced the Digimon Ambassador arriving on August 6th. And it was basically explained as Terramon Assistant giving Digimon news and informational updates. It's basically, do you remember for a while they were doing like the every week or every 2 week, the mini version of DigiNavi was just like streaming updates?
Yeah.
It's basically that, but it's going to be hosted by Terramon. They did the first one, and it's an actor like set up in like a VTuber setup as Terramon. And I've heard people say who it is, but not anyone actually attached to the production. So I can't tell if it's we actually know who it is or if it's fans guessing. The only name that I've heard attached so far is Junko Noda, and I don't know that they would be getting her in weekly for news updates. I won't complain.
Hard to say.
It does have her energy to it, I will say. But yeah, so
I mean, they could do them a lot in advance and then just kind of like
they could
space them
they out. Could, and that's possible. But yeah, they're going to be doing these weekly. And it wasn't ready moment one. They did have subtitles up by the end of the day for English, though, which is nice.
It's appreciated.
Yes. And then for those in Australia, Sugoi is doing their Blu-ray DVD combo of Digimon Adventure 02 to the beginning September 4th. And I need to double check. I need to double check the price because at least one person said that their store translates prices to regions, even though they only ship in Australia. So I wrote $20 because it's what it showed me. It appears it may actually be $36 because it may have been showing the USD price, even though they will not ship to America. Now, time for the important bet, Dev. Are you ready? When people start posting images of the disc, the menu below, is this a rebadge of the Shout disc, or did they make their own disc? I would guess it's a rebadge, meaning it's just the Shout logo at the front is replaced with Sugoi, and they just paid Shout to do the disc for them. I would assume.
Yeah, it's like, why would you do the work all over again?
Basically.
Especially if it's something super recent.
Yeah. So that's out in a little under a month. And then for those in Europe and a few other regions, Digimon Savers is streaming subtitled on Crunchyroll. They do need proper Digimon Savers iconography, though, as they were clearly sent stuff for Data Squad. Which, not a shock, but yeah, they need Digimon Savers stuff. So if you're in those areas, enjoy. It appears to use the existing SD masters, not a new upscale or anything. No idea how the subtitles are, as I haven't actually seen anyone comment on them. But we will see. And then...
You have to go and check.
And then back to YouTube. The Digimon Partners YouTube rebranded to just a general Digimon YouTube, which makes sense because I don't believe the address or name ever said Partners. I think it was just Digimon Official. And they changed their icon from the generic Digimon Partners one to some really nice new art of Akumon. I really like that art.
It looks so excited.
I like the colors, and I like that they gave us a nice high-resolution version so that Wikimon can further be destroyed on its Akumon page via artwork.
Nothing else will load. We've maxed out the amount of templates the wiki will hold on one page.
And then, Digigift for August. Bit of a surprise. It's Koshiro, Tentomon, Takaru, and Patamon staying cool, but specifically them from Try. I would have thought they would have saved Try for Fall when it premiered. But I really like the art. The only issue I have with the art is they do the nice big piece of it, but they both have the legs cut off at different points.
Yeah, that bothers the hell out of me.
Like, cover it up with some of the background and it would be fine. But the way it is, it just stops.
Yeah, they could have just made it go along with the watercolor splash background.
And then, because the art keeps on coming, Digimon Partners Project 3, Let's Make Digimon Line Stamps Together, ended. The set is out. The set is available most places in the world for $1. And the stamps are amazing. They did nice previews of all of them. This is really good.
I don't know which one is my favorite.
Okay, I'm going to look through. I'm looking.
I mean, Wallace is really up there.
Let's see. I'm scrolling through it because I'm trying to decide who is my... What is the funniest one? I think it's somewhere between Ruli, Wallace, and Meikumon. Although I will admit, that Gamamon one is really good.
It is, but it's also pretty generic. But like the Roto Nightmon one is...
The Roto, here's the issue with the Roto Nightmon one. It's actually so good, it does not come across as kind of a funny one like the rest do. Like, it's sort of just Roto Nightmon posing, which might make it funnier, but you almost scroll past it because, like, you have all of these, like, the crazy comedy personalities, and then Roto Nightmon is just doing what Roto Nightmon does, which is funny, but it does mean that there's multiple times I'm looking through this list going, huh, what's the most interesting? What's the one I like the most? What's the funniest? And I go, wait, where's Roto Nightmon? Oh, there. I missed entirely. But yeah,
Wallace is the winner.
Yeah, so that's $1 for anyone who uses line. And then, time to stretch, Dev. Are you ready for cards? Don't worry, there's not that much. But we need to stretch first. Okay, so first, card case set 2024 continues, and these are previews for... It's a deck box with new Paledramon art, plus art that's both new and also from international cards. So we get Metal Greymon Ace, which was an English card.
Looks badass.
Zudomon Ace, which was an English card. Polyandromon Ace, English also. Liliamon Ace was an English card. This was from the same person who did that Agumon art that we all like from the 2020...
Oh, the contest?
It was 2023 or 2. It was really? 2. 2, because the second one was last year, so 22. That's the one who did the Agumon with the fire spinning up? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that one. Then Tamer Battle Pack 24, Possibilities for Future. This is the profile art of the original seven partners. This is a parallel card to the card that comes with the Digivice color. And actually, this is the first parallel card we've seen in a battle pack for a while. Because they've all been original because they're doing two of each now.
Okay.
Then also from the battle pack, we get... New card for Monimon, a Tamer card for Fake Jury.
That I was not expecting to ever come up.
No, and it's solid because it's like, oh, it's ADR1 in disguise, so it's a Tamer not being used as a stand-in Digimon. And option card Rook Device, which is a remake of a Hyper Colosseum card, which I love when they do those. They do them just rare enough that they're actually interesting.
That's like, nostalgia for Tamers.
Then... They started booster set 19 with Terrormon and Saint Galgamon. That Terrormon card is amazing.
It's hard to fuck up a Terrormon card.
Yes, it is. Saint Galgamon's great also. The only issue with Saint Galgamon cards, far too many of them just make you go, okay, this is supposed to be Giant Robo. And yes, Saint Galgamon looks exactly like Giant Robo. It's on purpose, but it comes up in the art as reference a little too much, I think. Then the Tamer card rookie for Booster Set 19, that's actually some of the best Tamer's art I think we've seen for the card game.
I can agree. And also starring the wave of rookie.
Yes. Then Renamon. Okay, so it is very nice that when I do these write-ups, sometimes people agree. So I do this write-up, I'm like, what is Renamon actually doing here? And multiple other people have had that issue also. It's like the intention was for her to be dashing past, but it doesn't really work with the scenery.
Yeah, it looks like she's just a little too close to the ground.
You know what she's doing? The Digimon are attacking her, and she's trying to do a smash air dodge.
Getting mauled to death by the babies.
She's trying to do that Fox McCloud air dodge. Sakuyamon, just solid card. I don't have much to say about this. It's just a nice card.
Well, since Kuki did the Renamon and the Sakuyamon, I'm wondering if they also did the art for, I guess, the upcoming Kyubimon and Palmon.
It's actually interesting because there's so many things that will be in here. I wonder if they might skip those.
I really want to see them draw a Kyubimon. Yeah.
And then Shoutmon. That is a great Shoutmon.
I fucking love this one.
Yeah. I feel like, here's the thing. I really like the Rookie and seeing the Renamon Sakuyamon cards, it really feels like people are like, okay, come on, we know there's going to be Digimon Tamer stuff in here, but that's not what we want to see for this set first. Like, we see Terrormon, we see Saint Galgamon, we want to see the Cross Wars, so we get Shoutmon on stage. They've done a few other cards of him on stage, this one's pretty good, though.
Yeah, and then, like the amp he's standing on.
And then Omega Shoutmon, which, doing Hard Rock Dimashi. The best part here is it appears he's jumping off the stage Shoutmon was just on.
Oh, I
you can see, you can see the lights and everything. I believe this is supposed to be a few seconds later. Then we got Shoutmon EX6, great card. I don't think we have anything to say about because we've actually seen it for months because it's the key art. Tamer card, yep. Taiki is him from the cover art of Volume 1 of the Cross Wars manga.
I was super excited to see that, and I hope the other Tamers get like the same effect from the
manga. You hope they use more cover art of them?
Yes.
Here's what I think. They should do that, but the parallel card should be asking Nakashima to do new art of them for the parallel art.
Oh.
And then the twist is we got a preview of the War Greymon lottery card. It is not, we thought that it was going to be the Japanese version of the upcoming signature card. It's not, because we know the signature card is Kenji Watanabe, and this isn't. So that's slightly unexpected. So the way this one works is the box topper pack will have a number slip in it, and you can enter those online to potentially win. I think they were giving away 150 of these, and then 50 would be given away in other promotional uses, I think. Gorgeous art. I love they're doing the gold foil outlines for the lower forms.
Works amazingly well.
Yes. And then I don't think anyone expected to see Poyoyomon. But that is that's amazing art, honestly. Digimon Card Game keeps going nuts with artwork.
I know I say it pretty much every time, but I wish they would just have a gallery of all the clean artwork without any text on it that we can just
I really think you could do like a yearly art book.
I would fucking pay for it.
Yeah, here's what you do. Do it from Premium Bandai. And minus an introduction, every page is just a full piece of art of the cards without, or, you know, maybe to do less pages, maybe do 2 or 4 per page for the booster sets, promo cards, anything that comes out in a calendar year.
Yeah, or if they need to fill out some more pages, they could have some of the processed artwork.
Well, not only the process, remember, they do new art for stuff like sleeves. Or for boxes. So there's plenty of stuff you could do there. And then earlier today, that Swimmon art is really fucking good. That is like the best art Swimmon will ever get.
It makes me want to go to the ocean.
And then from the Liberator web novel, we got some art previews. So from EX-08, which is the next theme booster, which is another Liberator set, we get Tyrannomon. Good art. Master Tyrannomon, I feel like it's trying to show a bit too much attitude.
He's just kind of there, though.
Dinomon gets a great Godzilla pose.
And, that I love.
And Ryotaro has really detailed teeth.
It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like, okay, Godzilla's fine. And then, oh my god, why is his teeth so detailed? And then we get Polar Bearmon, one of our new Digimon. Scottymon. Everyone has fallen in love with Scottymon and the weird sort of, maybe this is a baby Digimon we've never seen before, where it's kind of like a tweaked Yukimi Bodamon in
so
the fishbowl head.
So fucking weird looking.
And a card for Suzune. Then they also, from Liberator, these need cards or sleeves or something, the glamour art from the chapters. And then we also got art of Demi Devimon, Myotismon, Piedmon Ace, and Bolt Bodemon from there. That Demi Devimon artist is great. Although it does not help that this is supposed to be the friendly one. And instead it's like,
he's just having a good time.
I'm going to fuck you up. And then English card game will have a Halloween event with Tamers cards. So the participation pack is Takato, Rika, and Henry in costume. And the winner card is Rio. I
kind of want these.
I do want them. Here's the issue. Does it feel like having Rio be the rare winner card border on parody a little bit?
Yes.
Rio, it's the special Rio card that you have to get from winning. It's like, no, I want the other ones. And then the Grand Asia Open for cycle one of the 2024 championships was yesterday-ish. It's bordering on more than a day at this point, but they announced that LMO4 would not be at the Grand Asia Open because it just did not make it in time shipping. I like their make good, though. Are you ready for how?
Yeah.
Players who were approved for the Grand Asia Open would be able to log into TCG Plus, which you have to do anyways to schedule official events like that. And they will be provided with a premium Bandai link to order the cards, and shipping will be waived.
Oh.
So minus the delay, it will not cost people anything extra. So it will be private sale to people who could have gotten them at the event but weren't able to due to the shipping delay, and there will be no shipping charge.
That is very generous.
Yes. Especially since with premium Bandai, you really don't have to for cards like this. People would buy them.
Yeah.
And then at the end of September will be the Cross Evolution Release Tournament. They had previously teased that there would be a new Mugen Tremon card for the event, and that is some fine artwork.
I have a mighty need.
Yeah. Then, for the Cycle 2 preliminaries, they announced a Kodamon card and a Wizardmon card. The Wizardmon card's really fucking good. Like, I really like it.
I enjoy the lighting on it.
And then the prize cards for the Cycle 2 Championship in Japan, which I believe they also announced some other country-specific turns will get this. It's V-mon, V-dramon, Aero-V-dramon, and UL-Force-V-dramon. These use black as the main color with gold trim, and the text is languageless using Digimoji instead of any specific language.
I really fucking want these.
And then the World Championship cards are the same cards, but with gold as the primary color for, you know, the championships, but UL-Force-V-dramon has been replaced by X.
Mm. I like the other cards better.
No, here's the funny thing. I feel like I would like the actual champion cards better if we saw that version of the normal UL Force Vigramon. Because I feel like X does not improve his design in any way.
He's just slightly spikier.
Yes. But yeah, solid prizes. And then I posted this. Do you know how many messages I fucking got from people like, oh, I'm going to need to fucking get this? The Omegamon binder set.
So it looks so fucking gorgeous.
So you get an Omegamon binder. On one side, it's new art of Omegamon. It's monochrome. It's gorgeous. The other side, you get this art of Omegamon with all the Agumon and Gabumon forms. And then the cool part is the 9 cards that it comes with is that art split into 9s, and you realize it's actually been designed to be split into cards. to make that one image.
God damn it, I want this so fucking badly.
But are you ready for the even cooler part, Dev? If you look at the cards for Agumon and Gabumon, it has their lower forms there also.
See the...
The Koromon's right below the Koromon's right below Agumon and the Bodomon's right above him. To the bottom left of Gabumon, you can see the Puchimon, and to the top right of Gabumon, you can see the Sunomon.
It's just, that looks so fucking badass.
I know, it's... This is one where if they do an English version of it, because sometimes cards and stuff will be split and put into events, I may actually order it, not even getting cards in general. This is just looks so fucking good, this set.
I would just have the binder, like the artwork from the binder on display.
You know what? You know those metal posters?
Yes.
The monochrome art on one of those.
You know what? I work at a frame shop. I can do that.
And then
I can fucking do that.
Then we had two episodes of Card Battles, which were basically last minute informational things to help people going into events for the first time for the summer. And Card Battles off this week. It's back on the 22nd. We will see if... I like that they found a way to do mini episodes when there isn't necessarily enough to do full ones. Minimizing the weeks off. Yeah. It's a neat little thing. And then they announced and put up the pre-orders for the lookup figures of Tentomon and Palmon. These went up like only a month after the last two. These I think are the two best looking ones.
I did a longer gap of time to get the last two for the set.
I think they want them like up for pre-order around all the celebrations and stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Tentomon looks amazing.
And Palmon is adorable. I expected her hands to be kind of like out to the side.
Well, because when they like, the silhouette didn't make it look like she was going to be sort of ultra super deformed and just standing there.
A little bit.
Yeah. So these are solid. And so you know how anytime Premium Bandai makes it harder to access the site, it's because there's always the dealers trying to buy up as much as they can, which means less stock for Japan. They've made it harder again. Now they're trying to actively block VPNs and stuff. Hooray.
Wow.
Which makes it very hard to include information. Pre-orders are open at normal stores also. If you get the Premium Bandai version, they get cushions.
Yeah.
And then new Agumon plushies were announced. So first up is the Agumon Play Charm. It's a 3-inch plushie that's designed to stick to a phone case. I like the idea. I'm not sure how comfortable it would be to have an Agumon stuck to your phone. I'm much more interested in the Purinoi big Agumon, which is a big, very fluffy looking Agumon.
I want to mash my face into it. It looks very
soft. I wrong? Or the picture where they show someone holding it, doesn't it feel like from the Despicable Me with the unicorn?
It's so fluffy!
Yeah, I set you up for that one, Jeff. But it does remind me of that scene because it looks fluffy.
Yes. Actually, it might look like it'd be weighted, maybe, like with like beanies in it.
Oh, that'd be interesting. And then more new stuff at Annabirth. They had teased Keep On themed products, and these are really good. There's tape, an acrylic display, clear file, the can badges. Kakado's mentioned that he's been suggesting this for 25 years.
Now he has it.
Yes. And then... So they love to do new types of products, and this one actually surprised me. A line of Eau de Parfum, a perfume themed after each character.
I'm actually really curious what these would smell like.
I actually wrote down all the fragrance information they give.
Thing is, like, I don't know what most of those are, but the Hikari one seems like, oh, I recognize those things.
All I know is this. I don't like the smell of lavender and soaps. It makes me cough unless it has bergamot with it.
Something can be kind of strong.
Yeah. And you notice the bottles are themed after the evolution scenes. Where you have the Digimon names around the character name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Different bottles for Sora, Mimi, and Hikari. The prices aren't terrible. See, the problem is, I don't routinely buy perfume, so I don't know if the price is good or bad. It's about $30-ish dollars a bottle. It
looks average.
Yeah.
That honestly looks average.
Yeah. Seems nice. I've seen a number of people say they might try to import it when they're out, because they're being sold at the exhibition early, but they're not for sale outside of that yet.
Okay.
And then from Premium Bandai, we have crest-themed shirts. So we get basic black and white t-shirts for each crest with the crest on the back, a single color Digivice on the front, and then long sleeve shirt with
all of them.
All of them on the back with the opposite color. For me, these are about $30-ish. That's not bad if the printing is nice. I have never gotten any of the Premium Bandai ones, so I don't know what the print quality is. I imagine it's fine. I like the nice ink injected ones.
Yeah, the DTG. For these, more than likely, these are probably screen printed.
Yeah, screen printed. These might be fine. It's when you get the big screen printing ones that's uncomfortable to wear.
Yeah. Oh, actually, usually the uncomfortable ones like that, those are going to be vinyl. And it's just like, it's uncomfortable because it's just so much plastic and you just sweat everywhere.
Yeah. And then poll results for favorite Digimon collaboration V-Pet. The Uniqlo one won with 40%. I'd say that's probably the one that deserved it. It had the most variety and had the most interesting styles for designs. The Famitsu one's interesting because, as they point out, it's themed after the Famicom, which Digimon didn't exist then. And Digimon especially was not necessarily super... It's weird because it's Digimon themed after something that existed years before it existed.
But also, it's a really cool, like, visually.
No, it, really it is. Yeah. Although the Uniqlo one helps that each one has a unique logo, I think.
Yeah.
And then... The weekend batch ones will have to go through a bit quicker. So one more image from Kenji Watanabe, China Joy, him taking a photo of that the Agumon Tai Chi statue they bring to events. Annabirth showed off some of the street style products that they started adding around August 1st. Toei Museum showed off a bunch of stuff that they had on display for August 1st. Some of it normal, some of it not. One of the new things they did was they showed the collector's medallions that they'd been selling for a bit. I still love that vending machine with the fake glass crack next to it. Then photos from people involved with the brand going up. So we had from Masashi Hirata, who's in charge of Digimon Bandai. He took a picture of the Fuji TV building, which is right by where the theater event was.
Nice.
And then Megumi Han posted photos of some of the Digimon events she'd been to since she was a kid, which is funny because anytime she posts the photos, Kakuto points out I think it was that specific Garurumon display he had not seen. He had been to that event and they at some point changed something about it, so he never actually saw the version she took a photo with. And she wrote up a big, nice thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it was very nice, and I recommend reading if you have the time. Ayumi Miyazaki posted photos that he was in Germany for a convention. He showed photos of the rehearsal and everything. Chair Watanabe, who arranged and composed a bunch of Digimon, pointed out something about the photo. If you look, it lists Halka was a guest, and it's listed as J-pop. Kashitaro Ito's listed as J-rock. Miyazaki's listed as Digimon. And he points out, it's so popular, it's its own music genre on listings.
And there's enough of it.
Yes. AIM also posted photos. Some very nice, because, you know, her at the preparing for the stage show, taking a photo where you could see the Fuji building and the theater. And she actually points out that for the 15th anniversary 10 years ago, that was actually the first time in quite a while that all three singers had been in the same place for Digimon. And she ends her post wondering if Butterfly reached them, not specifically saying who she meant, because it could be a few different people, but very nice thought to have. And also, that promotional Palmon plush is still around.
Aw.
That big one that they used for some events, I would have thought that'd be gone by now. In fact, you can see all the big promotional ones, which were used for, I believe, the later part of Try and Early Kizuna. Then, something special, we've heard mention of this from Kakuto, that he could never find the... because he did a lot of the CGI work for Adventure. He taught himself to do it. He couldn't find the Digivices, though. He found it. He actually had to pull out an old Mac to read the files because he found an old drive. He found the models. He did not find the actual camera data. So he put up like images and then a spin around on YouTube. Because the idea is if he could find the camera angle, he could actually re-render that specific shot out. But yes, that he actually found the original models, put up images of it, and you can actually see what he rendered out for it and everything back then, which is just fantastic to see. He actually mentioned the folder name was DigiTrek, because back before it had the name Digivice, that was the generic name they gave it, which is, you know, Trek meaning going on a journey.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he said he had to pull out an older Mac for the first time in quite a while because the application would not open on newer program computers.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. Kakadu also posted photos from the screening at the big screen. He was in the theater for the screening event. And then he also said quite a bit more, which was very interesting. So he pointed out some of the staff who worked on it. He pointed out that the storyboard artist was the director of the recent Magical Doremi movie. And he actually where he sits is actually close to where he does when he's working at Toei. So he could see him working on the storyboard occasionally. I kind of imagine Kakadu doing like that lean, like, you know, lean craning the neck. He said he was occasionally asked one or two things just about like opinion. Kakadu points out, you'll notice there's no issues with how the main characters look or anything. The main notes he gave were things like, you know, where would be a good place to put Ogremon just to make sure that it has, you know, energy. Kakadu mentioned that the scene with the kids meeting the Digimon was something suggested by the young staff at Toei, because they were fans of Digimon as kids, and they were asked, when you were a kid, what did you want to see that you didn't get to, so they could figure out what to do. And it was that Kakadu was a bit surprised that, you know, that was something, it was surprising to him to see it, but it fits very well. Even though, you know, Umeda did it animated instead of Toei, it's widescreen, it's HD, but it really does look like it fits in. Then he pointed out that after the Alta Vista screening on the big screen, he had to rush to Odaiba. He went to the stage greeting, was happy with it. He pointed out some of the stuff we noticed on the screen, like the theme wasn't playing at first, but then everyone kind of sang it. He pointed out that he thinks this is the first time he's seen the TV show opening on a big screen, which is interesting. He thinks this is the first time he's seen those two movies since they were first released. He hopes people enjoy them who go to the screenings. He notes he's not talking about the exhibition for now because at the time it hadn't started yet. And then that's when he gets into weird stuff. Okay, ready, Dev?
There's so much.
Okay, so he talks about going from Shinjuku to Odaiba on August 1st. It was hectic, but he got there early. He stopped at the smoking area at the Aqua City to grab a smoke. And as he's sitting there, he thinks, he did this 10 years ago. Like, he got there early, and then he stopped at the same place to smoke. And then he mentioned at the after party, back then he met Chiaku Matsuzawa for the first time, who went on to, you know, be and try, host Digimon events. He found a photo at the event of him with Ayumi Miyazaki and Wada Koji. He feels like he can't really post it, though. Which, you know, I can understand. And then he mentioned at the time, 10 years ago, he didn't have the time to eat properly. So he rushed to Shinbashi and got Hakata ramen, and he decided he was going to check shops in the area so that the next time there was an event in Odaiba, he would remember to feed himself properly. This event ended, and he didn't remember anything he had looked up from 10 years ago. So he went to Shinbashi and ate ramen.
Oh, who knows if those shops that he even looked up would even still exist.
Yes. Then, let's see, need to scroll up here. Strib Sodas, who's the artist for Knuckles, posted art of Koshiro and Tentomon for Daiba Memorial. That is good art. They mentioned they had drawn them for the watched Adventure for the first time, which is why they drew them. Then Minato, who's the artist for Paradox, had drawn a few different things, including Korriban with Granma Sake from Summer Wars, because it came out on August 1st. Yeah, so solid art.
I thought
there.
She looked familiar.
Yeah. At first, I didn't realize who it was, because at first I'm like, oh, it must be a paradox change. I'm like, wait, I know this character. Then Wawa Gao, who's the artist for Recollection, drew an artist of the main characters from Bloom, because that day was 1 year since Bloom, which is what led to them doing Recollections. So they drew those characters again. Then Tomo 01 drew a little crossover art between Liberator and Adventure, and then also posted a photo of them in Odaiba with a Digivice. They mentioned
that was very fun.
Yes. I gather they had tickets for the event, so they were going to it. They didn't specifically mention that, but I believe that's what they were doing. Then Usagi Bochi, to celebrate the tips column, posted SD Art of Liberator. They posted another Liberator image later for Odaiba Day. They noted they want to go to Odaiba. They were really looking forward to the adventure trailer. They apologized the image wasn't adventure-related. They just didn't have the time to do something else. And they mentioned they've been obsessed with adventure for 25 years. It's their dream to be involved with Digimon professionally. And they're just very excited. And then they apologized for such a low-hanging fruit type comment. And then Naoka Akamini, who's the artist for the Atmon Maged, who's done lots of solid Digimon art. We only posted one of the two revisions because they posted art that they called Connected Feelings, which was Omegamon, Tai Chi Yamato. Then they did a big poster widescreen version of the Omegamon one. And for the English audience, they wrote Omnimon in English also.
I can't wait to see this colored.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. It looks so good. Okay, which one do you think will look better colored? And we may to be clear, we may not get both colored. I'm trying to. I feel like the left one will be better, but I'll enjoy the no character ones more, if that makes sense. And then we got.
But the right one makes such a good wallpaper.
Then the August social art was a celebration of adventure with fireworks and a mock drone show in the art, which, don't you love the drone war, Greymon?
Yes, he's so happy. I love Omnimon, just kind of like chilling
in
the background.
And then, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Japanese release of Digimon Battle Chronicle, which is Rumble Arena 2, they did social media art for that, which is themed after it really nice.
More fun than the game actually was.
See, here's my issue. I really want to play that game so bad I imported the Japanese version right when it came out. And I played it plenty, and I enjoyed it, even going, this is not really a great Smash Brothers ripoff. It's fun. It's not good. It's fun if you have friends to play with, which I played way too much of that with friends. And then moving on to the Weekend 2 stuff, just from a few days ago, reference book updates for Polar Bearmon, Scottymon, Dinomon, and Nezhamon. One of the new century Digimon. My main issue with this, I think of two things looking at Nezhamon, and it's not the god Nezha. Do you know what the two things I think of are?
What?
The first is, those look like the wheelies from Kirby. And two, did you ever watch Beast Machines, the Beast Wars sequel?
Yes, I did.
You know what I'm going to say. Doesn't this kind of feel like Rat Trap from Beast Machines?
It does.
Where they didn't give him legs, they just gave him wheels, and he kind of tooled around. Like, this feels like Rat Trap from Beast Machine so much. And then we got an image of Yodo Kazama recording the character album, which was noted this was the day after the announcement, I believe.
Oh, neat.
Then Miyazaki posted photos of him going to another convention. This one in Changzhou, China. He went to Chaosuyama Dinosaur Park, I guess it's a promotional thing. He noted there was like lines of influencers trying to get photos of him. And he said, it's always amazing to go around and just see how much people like Digimon. And he also showed the stage that was being set up for the concert, which was neat. And then Kakado took a photo of the promotional stuff for the exhibition. That was in a Ikebukuro station. He mentioned that he took the photo while he was going to the preview event. Then I don't know if he was sent these or if he imported them. The Digimon Products Dimmock has been making in the U.S. He got various character badges. He knows they're a bit bigger than the pin badges you see in Japan, and some of them had two or three fastening points. He wasn't familiar with the brand, but he looked them up and realized, oh, clothing. And I guess he purchased some Digimon shirts that he plans to look over.
I haven't seen these before.
What happens is the Dimmock stuff, a lot of it sells out before I realize it's there. It's like, so I'll post the photos once there are good photos of them, but there's no reason to post that this was available to pre-order. It's not now, unless we have decent photos of everything. And before I got to the pins, he put them up. It's like, great. So he goes through, like, the Greymons, the Gurumons, the Angels. Lilymon, Tailmon, he guesses that them getting ones means they're popular characters in the U.S. He wasn't quite sure about them getting pins without other characters, which makes sense, I would say. He also, this is where the keep on stuff, he showed some of the stuff on sale. My favorite part was he did the post explaining that he, like, had asked about it 25 years ago. He didn't expect it to take this long. He's like, he's a bit disappointed they're not being sold at the exhibition. It's only at the Annabirth shop. His next post was when he went to the exhibition preview, they were on sale there, which made him happy. Toei Museum showed off that they were selling Digimon sweets. I think these are like Monica or small cookies with like.
Okay, to be fair, when I first saw the picture, I assumed that they were. Yes, but I assumed it was a very old pin where the resin covering had a discoloration.
I think it's a Monica or a small cookie that's been printed on. I don't know what the gold frame thing's for, though, if these are actually sweets.
It looks kind of like a little tiny frying pan, sort of.
Do you think the art's under there and these are meant to be used like as fancy pins or something?
No, I think they're just kind of like fancy. Sitting the cookie. Yeah.
Okay. Then more and more art. So from Seiho, who does the illustrations of the web novel, we got nice chapter art showing each chapter. Well, I like how the one is just Yuki Darumon and her, and she's just happy.
And yeah.
Did you see the chapter 3 when Impmon just looks exhausted with everything? Usagi Bochi also. Go ahead.
No, just, oh, yeah, okay. I feel that.
Usagi Bochi did art for each chapter. SLMY1022, who's the... They've done some Digimon stuff before. They're the creator for the Crossword Witch manga.
This is the best art of the
okay,
entire
so here's what, set. So here's what they did. Four, they mentioned this. They do Seekers character art on the side. They hope people enjoy it. So this is various bits of Seekers art, plus some of the new one. And then the SD art, they mentioned they were drawing these when they felt stressed. And those are some great art. That's good.
I'm tempted to make this my forum icon now.
I feel like Ryudamon, you have to refer to him as Goopy.
Makes me think of like a worm off the string.
Sort of, yes.
What crimes will he commit?
Then, there was so much art this time. Strib Sodas, whose Knuckles to... Thanks everyone for reading Knuckles, put up art of Gankumon.
He looks fabulous.
Ayumi Miyato, the artist for Paradox, did a whole series of countdown images. We didn't put them all here because there was just too many, along with some other art. They posted so in the last week. They've done at least 9 images. I think they've done more since Saturday, which will go up next week. But yes, they're very excited. They showed previews of Chapter 2. Oh no, absolutely. Wawaga posted art of the characters from Recollection, and also they had gotten the physical book from the exhibition. Did you see? They show off the art with 8 Wormon Otodamas.
Thing is, I'm wondering if they set that down on a counter there and put the plushies around it, or if they just happen to own that many.
I can't say. Doesn't it feel like this is a picture you'd take at home, though?
Yes.
But yes, we don't. But yes, we don't know. But yes. And the funny part is that image is so funny, we didn't even talk about the art, which is great. Also, that is a Terrormon that has a happy mood. That's like a weird, like, jumping to hug Terrormon.
Yes, you're being glomped.
Tenya Yabuno posted art for... his starting, the Royal Knight one, which Dynasmon, like, having the little gear to help Wanyamon and Wanyamon not paying attention is great. Social art is the adventure Digimon arriving at the theater for the stage event. And we're almost done. It's time for questions. You guys in chat can throw yours up.
Go whoop, whoop.
Okay, Devin was confused about Roto Nightmon or Lord Nightmon. So the name in Japan has multiple puns in it. And at this point, I would say most people translate it as Lord Nightmon. I choose, and I think Dev largely does the same as Roto Nightmon because it keeps the second pun, which is Roto Night is a pink gem.
Yep, it is a mineral.
Yeah. So the point is the name is not just for Nightmon, it's also for Roto Night for the pink finish. So we tend to go with Roto Nightmon because it keeps both puns to some degree. Lord Nightmon, perfect good translation. I was always fine with Lord Nightmon, except for those few times when they did L-O-A-R-D.
Yeah, and they also had just Load Nightmon too, so.
Yeah, I forgot that. I was happy with those. I was fine with Crusadermon when they did that sometimes. But yeah, I tend to go with Roto Nightmon. Then Diego wants us to answer, what do we think Ken's soccer team thought when their celebrity genius friend was all of a sudden friends with the kid they played against once and his group of friends that weirdly carried around plushies? I don't think they thought anything because the episode kind of points out that, like, they don't even know if he's going to show up for games. Like, they respect him, but he's so busy, it doesn't feel like they see him all that much.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, he's on our team. He's pretty good, but, I mean, he has, like, a packed schedule, so.
Yeah.
He's just, like, a classmate, kind of.
I don't think we're going to rank. I don't think we're going to do the ranking angels level of holiness because I think it just default to levels.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's see. Has there been a remaster that you bought the movie over? The remaster was bad enough it ruined watching the movie? Not only do I have an answer, my answer became more relevant today.
Is it the Star Wars?
No. That's what's funny. It's True Lies. So,
I've seen that since I was, like, 10 years old.
Because it was never on Blu-ray until, like, just a few months ago. So, in general, you want grain, especially if it's a film-based medium. But you can degrain stuff without really affecting anything. And one of the masters of film is James Cameron. Okay. A number of his recent films have been degrained way too much, to the point where it's not an argument of, is this acceptable without grain, is it actually affects the picture. And True Lies, it definitely does. And he was asked about that today, and his reaction was basically, if you're looking at grain, you're missing the point. Generically, I actually agree with that answer, except that it's actually bad enough in True Lies as to be distracting, and I turned it off around 15 or 20 minutes into it, because it actually was distracting enough that it did not look right.
I get that.
Yeah. Devin wants to know, do we kind of headcanon the other Digimon vanished after Agumon, Gabumon, and Biomon? Generically, I feel like I haven't really put too much thought into that, because plot-wise, it's going to be whatever they want for the plot of whatever is dealt with. I could see people theorizing either way. I think from the ED, it's hard to tell, although everyone does have their opinions on that.
Yeah, I never thought much about it.
Yeah, we've mentioned months in between the web novel seem like too much, but do we feel the same about the Digimon comic? Yes and no. One, would definitely want more, but also, if we're going to get like the big 40-page fat chapters with a number of these people having day jobs and everything, you got to give them that time to do it properly.
And they're doing a good job, yeah. So...
Yeah, like...
Hey, they can take all the time they need.
Because some of them probably would not have the time to do, like, 20 pages a month, like a normal month, like a month serialization. So, yeah, so I would like it quicker, but I think, okay, this is going to be a year... At the end, maybe we'll get collections. It makes sense enough that I'm fine with it, especially since it's not someone who necessarily has the ability to bust it out monthly.
Yeah, this is one of them is Yabuno, but not all of them are Yabuno.
Yeah. Now, I think you could make an argument that do one every 3 weeks, and then 3 weeks later you do a different one, and then you cycle them. But I think the 200 pages at once, they're going for impact. Because then you can go, here's an anthology comic every 3 months. And also having it set up as an anthology, I think, makes the wait a bit more normal.
So it gives like a bit more hype for all of it collectively.
Yeah. Chris wants to know, update on, did we see any updates on model kits? Just the teaser for the 25th anniversary adventure one, which is some sort of Omegamon. I would assume it will be normal Omegamon amplified, which I don't think they've done.
I assume it'd probably be some pretty finish.
Someone said, could we get something like the exhibition in the U.S. or elsewhere? We kind of got something like that last year with the card event where Watanabe was there. So I'd say yes, it's just a matter of what it would be and what the scale would be. Like, I'm not
mashing it in with another event like a major card tournament makes more sense.
Yeah. Actually, that was this year, wasn't it?
That was last year.
I think it was at the
It was near you.
It was. I'm trying to remember. It was late last year or early this year because it was during the world tour where it was split between the years. Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Ramon wants to know, would we give Digimon and Wolverine partners and who? I don't think either of us have the energy to consider that at the moment.
I am too sleepy.
Give both Agumon.
Give one Agumon with wristbands that make them yellow.
Okay, the next question
they'll make them blue.
The next question was actually specifically for you, Dev.
Oh, no.
Do you have any suggestions for something that can add a glitter-like look on faux leather but won't have family finding glitter bits anytime they move? I assume it's a costume or something.
You know what? You can actually just use glitter, but seal it. Use some kind of like acrylic or like flexible sealer over top of it. That's all you really need to do. Hell, they even have sprays that are like glittery. That's just the glitter's included in the sealer.
Oh, that's neat.
Yep. I know so much about glitter because I work in a craft store.
Someone was asking what's the, like, when Perfect Ultimate, it's Kyoku, Shinka. When they go beyond Ultimate, there's no difference because as far as the levels are concerned, it's the same.
Sometimes, yeah, they're all Ultimates. Some are just, like, cooler-looking Ultimates.
Yes. Last chance for questions in chat. Do we think the changes to the Digimon franchise since the anime started 25 years ago to now have been good, bad, or just changed things? They're wondering overall thoughts on what still works, doesn't work, or maybe doesn't exist anymore. I mean, think about it this way. A lot of those virtual pet franchises don't actually exist anymore. Like, Tamagotchi does, but Tamagotchi was like the king. I think outside of an anniversary toy, I'm not sure there'd be much if there wasn't an anime. Because even a lot of its contemporaries don't get much. Like, the last thing Monster Rancher got, I think, was a Switch re-release of Game 1 and 2. Metabots occasionally gets a game or a toy. I think it has a mobile game at the moment that people like. Yeah, so I think a lot of the changes were necessary for it to work in different mediums, and that's why so many of those changes have stuck. I mean,
they must be doing something, right? It's still around. So
yeah, so we'll see what pops up. I mean, some stuff's going to be good, some stuff's going to be bad, like you said, and some stuff will just be changed. Like,
well, that stuff, certain things like hit different for different people and different audiences. So
yes. But yeah, so it's more just sometimes things have to change or else, like it's weird to think, like, prior to 10 years ago, we functionally got nothing.
Adapt or die.
That's why, like, when people are like, oh, we're only getting a bunch of toys, a card game, blah, blah, the franchise is dead because we're not getting this one thing. It's like,
I can go into a Target and find Digimon stuff right on the fucking shelf.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
No, and that's the thing. Like, prior to August 1st, 10 years ago, it was basically, we might see a product every once in a while at Premium Bandai, and that was basically it. Now there's just tons. Like, we're running an hour and a half trying to go quickly for a 2-week period where it's all just a wave of small, interesting stuff. So yeah, I'm more than happy. I'm looking forward to seeing what will pop up. I think that will be it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Puroroman, for no particular reason.
I can be found at With the Will as always. Oh, and Ramon points out that when they see there's Digimon card game section at Walgreens, but they're always sold out. Yeah. I can be found at With the Will as always. We will catch you guys in a few weeks, hopefully with a bit less news, because damn, they went nuts for the past 2 weeks. Like,
and after both of us were already like busy and dead from our
busy, exhausted. Job. We will catch you all in 2 weeks. Thank you everyone for showing up. Bye.
Bye.